What's up, guys? Saf here on Super Saf Speaks, and welcome to episode number 35 of the podcast with myself, your host Saf, and my co-host.
Bored at work? Yes, that's me. Sorry.
Which you need to figure out. Are you going with Edibong? Are you going to be going with Thunder E? Or are you going to be going with Bored at Work?
I don't know. I changed personas. It might be Singala next week. Who knows, right?
Next week it might be Singala. Anyway, we've got a jam-packed episode for you guys today. We're going to be talking about the Google Pixel 8a, which has been pretty much fully leaked. We've got some Google Pixel 9 photos as well. The Xperia 1 Mark 6. That's going to be coming up. Then obviously the Apple iPad event has been confirmed for the 7th of May. Summarize some of the leaks and rumors. There's some Apple M4 chips that are also going to be coming later this year with a big focus on AI. And finally, I think, which is going to be the most exciting topic to discuss, which is going to be, is MKBHD killing startups? So lots to talk about. Let's initially start off with the Google Pixel 8a. We've got some full leaked renders now, so we can see it in all of the different colors. We've got a black, we've got a white, which is like a, they call it, they've got fancy color names, obsidian, porcelain, a bay blue, as well as a mint, which is a very, like, this doesn't seem to be as much of a subtle green like we've seen on the Pixel 8. This is like more of a stronger minty green that we can see on here. Now
I love the fact you just went minty green with that one.
Well, I'm not much of a color man. There's only so much I can, only so far I can be descriptive with these colors. But yeah, it's a lot more vibrant, shall we say, to what we saw, which was a bit more of a subtle one that we saw on the Pixel 8. Now, if you recall, a few weeks back, I kind of had a little bit of a rant about how bad Google are with leaks, right?
Yes, we did.
Pretty much proved my point, hasn't it? That look, here we've got the Pixel 8a in its full glory. Now, this is likely going to be announced, we're pretty sure it's going to be announced on the 14th of May during Google's annual I/O developer conference.
Yeah.
In terms of what we're going to be expecting, right? Google Tensor G3. So that's going to be what we had on the Google Pixel 8 and the 8 Pro, kind of now trickling down here. It's expected to have a 6.1-inch full HD display, 90 hertz potentially, 8 gigabytes of RAM, starting with 128 gigabytes of storage. It's going to have a 64-megapixel main camera, a 13-megapixel ultra-wide, with a 4,500 mAh battery. That's going to have support for 27 watts of wired charging. So, I mean, with Pixel A devices, it's pretty standard. We know what things are going to be like. Looks like it's going to be quite rounded on the edges. And the one thing that it is, I mean, I'm looking at this on GSM Arena. It's rumored to start at a higher price. Okay.
Ooh.
So maybe because of some of these updates, like, you know, the 90 hertz display, potentially we might be seeing a slightly higher price. Now, what I absolutely love about the A series, it's such an easy smartphone to recommend, isn't it? Like, if you've got somebody, like, especially if it's somebody that's, you know, doesn't want to spend too much, they're like, you know what, I just want something that's just going to do, you know, take some good pictures, it's going to last me fine. That's it. That's all you need. But if the price keeps increasing, as it has been over the past few years, then that makes it a little bit tricky, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think... I don't know, because there's a lot of competition now. A lot of manufacturers being able to use last year's SoC, like the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2. MediaTek has some really good processors. You can bring those prices really low and it becomes some really good competition, you know, for that market. Now, yes, Pixel has a very streamlined operating system that allows for, you know, it's easy to give to my mom, even your grandma. It's a very clean experience, especially on Android on there. But I agree with you. I think that price etching up might be an issue.
Do you think they still will do the 8 years of, was it 7 years, sorry, updates?
They might do 5 years and, you know, I don't even think they will mention it. I think they won't mention it. I think they will let everyone assume it is 7 years.
This was a big selling point of the Pixel 8 and the 8 Pro, right? That we've got 7 years of security updates. So now you buy a device for like, say, I don't know, I'm saying about £350, right? Let's call it around £350 or $400, roughly around there. And you're going to be getting 7 years of Android security and OS updates. Now, let me also mention that we've just had this come in recently last week, that AI editing tools are now coming to all Google Photo users, right? So this is no longer going to be an exclusive Pixel feature, these AI features such as, you know, Magic Editor, where you can remove people from the background. You can do a few of these things where you can move people. Like, so say you want to get a picture of you jumping, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Photo Unblur as well is another one that's also coming to all Google Photo users, because all of the processing is done in the cloud, right? So you don't need it to be actually, you don't need a powerful device or anything that's going to have to do it, because there's not much happening on device. It's all happening in the cloud. And they are now rolling this out to all Google Photos users, which means that the Pixel 8a obviously will have this. Now, that along with 7 years of Android updates, which I believe is going to be a key selling point, I think that's pretty compelling.
Oh yeah, it is. I think every year, to me, my favorite Pixel device is the A series overall, especially when you look at it like throughout the span of the year, from when it's released to later, you can always recommend the device. It fits that need of like, hey, I need a good phone. There you go. Take it. Just take it and go. Right?
So easy.
Yeah. So I think it falls into that quite well. In regards to the updates, I think it will be 7 years, but you know, they could be slick and just go like, yeah, you know what? Here's the Pixel 8a. Here are the specs. Here's the price. Let's go. And then everyone assumes that, you know, it's 7 years. I mean, I'm not saying they will do that. I'm just saying that it is very possible because, you know.
I think they will. I think that's a key selling point. So they will push that because I think the only other one that's doing that, the only other manufacturer that's doing that is Samsung with the long updates. But that's kind of for their flagship devices.
Yeah.
Everybody else is not doing as many updates as we have on the Pixel devices and the Samsungs. So I think that's still a key selling point, especially at that price point. I think it will be the longest supported device for that price, which makes it, I mean, it's an easy sell. I think it's an easy sell personally.
Oh yeah, absolutely. As long as the price is in line, it's good.
Yeah, well, only a couple of weeks, so we'll hopefully be covering that very soon. Now, on the topic of Google Pixel leaks, I said this. I said we are going to soon start seeing actual pictures. So we've seen renders of the Google Pixel 9, but we've now seen leaked pictures of the Google Pixel 9 Pro. So, you know, these pictures, again, we've got the update on the visor. So instead of going from edge to edge, it's kind of isolated. It looks more like what we've got on the Pixel Fold.
Yeah.
And now we've actually got to see these, you know, physical pictures of the device. It looks like it's got a glossy frame. And this is so long left to when the Pixel 9 and the Pixel 9 Pro will be coming out, right?
October.
Like October time. So we're in April. So, May, June, July, August, September. Like, so that's like 5 or 6 months. And we've seen physical pictures of the device. I mean, renders, okay, fair enough. You could give it to them. I mean, I'm still going to be excited about the device. The back looks like it's got a matte finish. We've covered some more of the, you know, general leaks and rumors in a bit more of a detailed clip, which you can see on the Super Sass Speak channel. But man, Google really needs to work on containing these leaks.
Dude, I've told you, they don't care. I don't think it's a matter of that. I mean, look at the, to be fair though, with the 8A, even though we saw like little leaks earlier, this is actually not bad. You know, it's like 2 weeks before the event, you know, where we're now seeing the full reveal. For them.
No. But then my asterisk, my sort of thingy to that is, the Pixel 8a is like an incremental device. So like, it looks just like the Pixel 8, right? Mm-hmm. There isn't a huge deal of difference. So yeah, we've got these different colors, but like, I don't think anybody's like, okay, that's like a big leak or something, because it's kind of what we already knew, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with the Pixel 9 and the 9 Pro, they're actually going to be standalone new devices, and they now have a update to this visor that, you know, we've had that kind of like the visor that goes,
I mean, the design has changed, to be fair, right?
And it's already leaked everywhere.
You know what it is? They want to prepare fans for the experience. They want you to feel comfortable by the time you hold it in your hands. You're like, this is what I want. So that's why they're just letting it go early. That's all. They want you to know.
Here's Enabong defending Google. But we're they're 9 years of pixels, and the leaks have been just as bad as they were.
No, you gotta stay consistent, bro. Gotta stay consistent.
Yeah. they're going to be consistent in terms of leaking their devices. But anyway, nevertheless, we've seen this. We'll probably see more leaks going forward. We're probably going to see a full 4K unboxing video or something in the next couple of months. So we'll take a look at that in more detail when it does come.
Yes, we will.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of leaked devices, we do have to talk about the Xperia 1 Mark 6. So Sony Xperia devices, I mean, I think they always offer something different, which is nice. But in terms of what we've got, everybody else in the competition, right? However, the device itself, from what we can see, we've got some detailed renders from OnLeaks, who is usually very, very accurate with his leaks. It looks a lot like the Xperia 1 Mark 5 that was from last year. So like physically, we've still got that longer aspect ratio, although that might be tweaking a little bit. So we're looking at a 6.5-inch display. Now, here's the thing. From what I'm reading here, headphone jack, brilliant. Mm-hmm. Sony fans love that. But it might be slightly shorter and slightly wider, right? And a tad thicker. So the dimensions may be changing a little bit. So not a huge deal. The big thing that we've got rumored here is that the 4K display is going to be going, and Sony's now going to be going to a 2K display. So that is going to be quite a... Because, I mean, the 4K display was something, obviously, that really makes the Xperia devices stand out. Now yeah. They might be going to a 2K display. So what do you think? What are your feelings about that, E?
It's fine. It honestly is fine. The thing about it is when you look at devices that size, you really can't tell. At least most consumers won't be able to tell the difference between 2 and 4K. Now, the only downside is that most people who are buying the Xperia devices are Sony heads, so to speak, right? And these are guys who are using the Xperia as a viewfinder for their cameras. And, you know, because, you know, they have that connectivity there where you can. And that is where somebody will have the downside of like, okay, look, I'm not getting the same crisp imagery because I'm shooting from a camera and I can't see my view screen type of thing. That's the only downside I can see, but it's not something that 2K is not bad. It's not like 2K is, you know, 720p or something.
But here's the thing, this is what we're saying, Silex. So in my experience, whenever I've reviewed Sony devices in the past, I think that they're excellent devices. I like that they offer something different. Again, when I say different, it's, you know, compared to the offering that we have everywhere else. Yeah. You know, the slimmer form factor, like in the form factor, because it's slimmer and it's taller, it just makes it a lot more, like, it's easier to hold. Display obviously is great. We have the dedicated shutter button, the front firing speakers, the headphone jack, things that we are not really seeing. We've got, you know, the variable aperture, and, you know, the cameras, again, I think are solid cameras. The only problem I've always had with Sony devices is that it's great for manual shooting, right? Okay, you want to go there. Love that. Absolutely love it. You've got all of the different settings as well that you can tweak, especially for video. My issue has always been when it comes to Sony devices is that that's all well and good, but also give us great automatic features as well, because I don't always, as with everybody else, you want to just sometimes point and shoot, right? And you just want it to work, right? But then when you compare the point and shoot capabilities of Sony Xperia devices to something like the iPhone or the Samsung phones, which have all of this AI and, you know, computational photography going in the background, then it's a big difference. And this is a debate that, you know, we constantly have back and forth. And, you know, Sony fans do get quite annoyed about that. I'm saying, look, I love the manual modes. Don't get me wrong. I love that. And I use it a lot as well. Like whenever I've been reviewing Sony devices, it's there. So it's like, it actually encourages you to actually use it. But give me a good auto mode as well. Probably going to get some hates in the comment.
Look, guys, let me give you a little secret about Saf and the way he takes pictures, right? He likes to set the scene. So which is why, you know, sometimes he wants to go auto just because, you know, it's the UK. It might rain real quick. So he wants to make sure.
You have to be quick before the thunderstorms. Speaking of which, I mean, like, you know what? you know, the weather across the world. Like, I've been seeing what's happening in Dubai and the UAE is crazy. So, like, you know, you might want to quickly capture something, and you just want to go point and shoot and just get it. And yes, when you have a bit more time, brilliant. Mm-hmm. Give me the manual features. But anyway, I'm interested to cover it. I mean, you know, if it does come along, then I'm more than happy to cover it. So here's one of the things that I found Sony was doing is they were sending the devices to the Sony fans, right?
Yeah.
Before anybody else. So then the initial reviews would be positive, essentially, because if they're sending it to the Sony fans, obviously the Sony fans are going to be more positive towards the devices. But then by the time it comes to us, then, you know, the device, we've got another six devices to cover. So it's just like, okay, now this is a bit late. Let's see what they do this time.
Yeah. I mean, that is very true. I think if I take the Sony hat and go, like, that's a great marketing move, honestly. It really is. At least, you know, just to push that out. No, I'm just saying that initial.
No, I mean, I get it. But then that's kind of unfair, isn't it? Because then consumers are not getting a proper, like, view of the device because they want to hear the positives and the negatives.
As a business, is that my concern? I want you to buy it. I'm not saying that my product is bad, right? I just want to put my stuff in the best light possible. It's an interesting tact, right? Every company has their way of doing their own tact. Sony has decided to go this way. You know, I'm not saying it's the best way, but that's what they're trying
to
do.
Well, I mean, as I said, we're happy to cover it. So hopefully we'll all be checking it out and, you know, doing some tests. But yeah, let's see. So that's, we've not really got any specific dates as yet. But
no,
we'll see when they
but I mean, usually Sony always starts, it's either like, I think in May or June that we tend to see stuff around that. But, you know, next month is pretty packed.
It's getting very packed. And one of the big events that we've got coming on the 7th of May is the Apple iPad event. So the invites have gone out. And I mean, it's pretty clear that it's going to be an iPad event with all of the branding and everything. And we have, you know, seen some of the regular leakers, should we say, like Mark Gurman, have said that we are going to be expecting potentially a new OLED display. Which is going to give you a brighter screen. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting. A new location for the webcam. So now it should be moving to the landscape orientation, which I agree with and it should be, because when you're on a large iPad, like an iPad Pro, you're going to be using it mostly in landscape, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're taking video calls, you're going to have it somewhere there and you've got center stage and everything. And it's kind of like always off to the side. And that's something that I've always fed back. We're going to be expecting a new M3 chip, a slimmer chassis, thinner bezels.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's for the pro version of the iPad. But what's exciting is, and I think this is very interesting, is with the iPad Air. So the rumor mill is that we're going to get two sizes. So there's going to be the traditional 10.9, but also a larger 12.9-inch iPad Air. Now, that's going to be interesting because, like, you know, shout out to my barber, Nick. He always gets the iPad Pro because it's got the largest screen. He wants the biggest screen possible. Now, this is going to be interesting because when I go for my haircut next week, I'll tell him that, look, maybe you don't need the M3 chip, right? Maybe the M2 chip, which is, you know, the iPad Air is rumored to have, will be fine for you. Mm-hmm. So that actually makes things a little bit interesting. So I think that's going to be, you know, like, let's see, iPad Pro, iPad Air. And there's also some rumors that Apple's potentially planning on releasing a new Magic Keyboard as well as a new Apple Pencil with a squeeze gesture. So that's kind of like a summary of what we're expecting.
No iPad Mini?
Well, on the rumors, I don't see anything on... There might be an iPad Mini. This is kind of
that's
like...
That's the only iPad that I kind of like. But yeah, okay.
So here's my thing, right? The only time I use an iPad is if I want to, like, draw something, like use the pen, or if I'm on a plane. So I am not your typical iPad user because I have my MacBook Pro. That's something that I always lean to because it's just easier, right? And my argument with the iPad Pro and, you know, all of the iPads has been that, yes, you can use it as almost like a laptop with the Magic Keyboard, right? Okay, and I love the Magic Keyboard. It's great. It's, you know, you've got the key travel. But as soon as you add it to the iPads, it doubles the weight.
Yes, it does.
Right? So the Magic Keyboard weighs more than the iPad. So then to me, then I'm like, okay, so iPad Air or this. Now, don't get me wrong, I get with the iPad, you can still use it, you know, independently, and you don't always have to use it with the Magic Keyboard, etc. But the Magic Keyboard does add a lot of weight. So if this new Magic Keyboard is somehow lighter, that might be a bit appealing. Let's see.
I mean, yeah, I'm not a big iPad user. In general, I don't use tablets that often, which is why I gravitate more to foldables, just because I just like something more portable, which is why the iPad mini was probably the first iPad I've bought in a long time. I like the size, the 7 inches. Like to your point of like when I'm traveling, I have either my laptop or MacBook. I don't want to carry something the same size that I can increase the weight in the bag. So the mini just works really well for me in that regard. Having a lighter keyboard would make sense. My own issue with the iPad is I want to see a better file system. I just need a better file system on the device. If you want that keyboard to make it more functional, it's just got to feel, it can't be this disjointed system that is currently going on right now. So, but we'll see what happens with iPad OS. I think, are they going to show any updates to that? Is that something we're waiting for DubDub? Do they usually do that at the events or at DubDub?
Well, this is the thing. DubDub is obviously the software.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. Actually, I didn't think of that because so from what I can tell, based on the rumor mill, right, the iPads were supposed to come in March. Then all the, you know, leakers were saying, oh no, now it's going to be April. And then it was May, right? And it was quite funny because we had Front Page Tech and Mark Gurman, like there was a bit of an exchange on Twitter. It was quite funny. They were kind of like roasting each other and stuff. Yeah. So I think what's happened is that, you know, I think this iPad event was supposed to be earlier, but then it's been pushed back and pushed back. But that is going to be interesting. That's a very good point because, you know, DubDub is when we actually hear about the new iOS and, you know, iPad OS features and watchOS, everything, right? So this is coming out literally a month, just like 1 month before. So, yeah. Let's see. It's going to be interesting on 7th of May. Stay tuned. We'll be doing some coverage. But yeah, that's a very good point, Yi.
Yeah. I know I give good points all the time.
Yeah, that's why you're here on the show, my friend.
The points guy.
I just wish you'd make it on time, you know.
Wow. I mean, I'm actually always late, to be fair.
He refers to it as African timing, right? So, you know, whatever time he gives you, add at least 15 to like minutes to half an hour on top of
that. Look, my friend, time is fluid. Granted, look, I know, you know, laws of relativity, time only flows one way. African time, you can bend it.
You got a new time theory from Enabunk here, which is, you know, African time, which it bends both space and time. Space, so.
Exactly.
All right. Apple's M4 chips are coming later this year with a big focus on AI. So now, again, Mark Gurman's got a few of these leaks on here. AI is obviously a big thing. That's what the talk is. And, you know, it seems like that's what everybody's going to be doing. Now, apparently Mac sales actually fell 27% in the last fiscal year, which ended last September. So now they did peak back in 2022, but now we've seen a few of these, you know, chips. And we've got these, you know, I actually did a comparison of my M1 Max, my M2 Max, and M3 Max MacBook Pros, right? 16-inch MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
And yes, there were improvements year on year, but I could still use my M1 Max MacBook Pro and I'd be absolutely fine. Unless I was doing like, you know, 3D CAD design or like, you know, something really, really intensive, right? But in terms of my workflow, the M1 Max was absolutely fine. So I kind of get that people want something that's a bit more appealing, exciting, something different. And I think AI might be the answer.
Yeah, I think so. I think Apple is in a very interesting position that I don't think they thought they would be. We talked about this before in the fact that, to be fair, I think the M2 chip should never have existed. I feel like it should have been M1 and M3 being an M2. Just because of the amount of Mac users, the M1 MacBook Air covers 90% of Mac users, probably even more than 90. Just practically, that's just what it is. But with Qualcomm launching pretty soon, I know it's they just announced their X Plus, and the benchmark for the Plus, which is the lower model than the Elite, matches the M3. So there's competition. Mm-hmm. There's now, you know, competition out there, and you're right. AI might be that play. The only question I have with them is that AI has many facets, and one of the biggest facets that Qualcomm has been showing is their MPU and the TPU numbers that they have for them. Right now, theirs is 5 times more than what Intel has, right? And it's like 3 times the speed. So Apple can actually excel on that and showcase, mm-hmm. is about showcasing the practical scenarios, like, you know, what apps will take advantage of it. Most people are talking about Siri. Siri is not the issue. That's a whole different, that's language models. That's completely different. It's more about, you know, if I'm going to be using, you know, like you use Adobe, for instance, right? You use some of the new features they've been rolling out, and, you know, can I have that on Final Cut? How's that going to look? How does it make my editing better? How does it make, you know, creation of music, you know, if one of the GarageBand, like, you know, things like that. Those are the things that,
yeah,
if they can show it quite effectively, I think it will be a draw. But I also think it's only going to be a draw for a certain group of people, again, because out of that 90%, they may only sway 10% to upgrade. Because again, for your day-to-day task, the M1 will do all that for you.
You know, when you said about the M2, I just want to mention a point, because I think Apple is still in the process of converting their Intel users and non-Mac users onto Mac, right? So I get that we had the M1 and then, you know, like there wasn't much of an update, and then you had the M2, but then they kind of updated the screen and things like that. So I kind of get that sort of, you know, process of going through that. But then, yeah, with the M3, I think people were just like, okay, yeah, it's faster. It's brilliant. But then there's nothing too exciting. But the AI thing, as you were saying, you know, it is exciting. And WWDC, you know, they've said that it's going to be absolutely incredible. So AI. And that's I think, a big, big hint to the AI that they are going to be covering. So I think it's going to be very exciting. Obviously, AI is the buzz right now. And depending on what they can offer with AI, let's see. So things are going to be coming very soon.
Question for you on the AI, right? So we had the rumors earlier that, you know, Apple may use Gemini or Apple may for the iPhone, and Apple may use, there's also some word about ChatGPT. But also mm-hmm. I've seen some rumors stating that Apple might actually go with their own thing. What do you think is the rank and order of those possibilities? In-house Apple, or because they bought some companies last year, quietly, some smaller AI startups. Gemini or ChatGPT? What's your ranking?
Apple likes to keep control of things, don't they? So I would say Apple will try to do in-house if they can. And only if that has failed, then GPT and Gemini.
I think Gemini over GPT. Okay. Even though they're very good partners in Microsoft, GPT is offered everywhere. Like, it's such a clean offering that, you know, I can go ahead and do it myself. I can go start something, pay ChatGPT and get their source or whatever, and then use it on my device. Mm. I mean, for instance, the Rabbit AI uses ChatGPT for some functionality. They have their own model, but they use it for something because they actually talked about it. So it's very open. It's, you know, and like you said, Apple wants to keep things closest to the chest. So I think Gemini is something that Google can create either a certain section, but they can actually specialize it for them. They can give them a package that says, okay, this is for you. And again, we can't just get Gemini used. We can use the consumer version at home, but we can't get that code.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think Apple will still try to get their own.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, well, I mean, again, we're just a month off. So, you know, Dub is where it will be revealed. So exciting times ahead. Now, you mentioned the Rabbit R1. So that brings us on to our final topic, which is the most interesting. Is Marques Brownlee killing startups?
Dum-dum.
Da-da-dum. Before I kind of go into it, I just want to say I saw this... this meme that was posted, and Enabong, I shared it with you, and I sent it to Marques as well, right? Because I just found it hilarious. And it was a user on Twitter called The Kits or The Kites, right? And it's just like the last thing a startup sees before it dies. And it's just a shot of Marques looking over with his red camera. This is hilarious. Okay. Let me just clarify. Okay, so why is this question being asked around, right? is Marquez killing startups? And, you know, there's been a whole debate about the power that tech reviewers have, and in particular somebody like Marquez, who has a huge following and a huge influence in the space, right? So there was two reviews in question that have kind of
back
brought
to
more
back
this debate. Yeah. So the first one was of the Fisker car, mm-hmm. and Marquez title review. This is the worst car I've ever reviewed.
I think it's just the worst car I've ever tested.
And then it was the Humane AI pin, right?
Worst product I think I've ever reviewed.
Which there was a tweet, and this guy must have got a lot of hate, right? So on Twitter, Daniel Vasallo, his name is said, I find it distasteful, almost unethical to say this when you have 18 million subscribers. Hard to explain why, but with great reach comes great responsibility. Potentially killing someone else's nascent project reeks of carelessness. First, do no harm. And obviously the title of the video that Marquez covered of the Humane AI pin was the worst product I've ever reviewed for now. Okay. So let me just say, firstly, I thought that was an excellent review. It was very objective. He started off with kind of what they were trying to do, but then he actually went ahead and gave his experience, which is what he's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
So let me just say, firstly, no, I don't think Marquez is killing startups, okay? Let me just make that very clear. I think people don't really understand what reviews are supposed to be doing, because reviewers, the loyalty lies to the audience, right? Not to the brand. And again, I have to say that Marquez was very professional in his coverage, in my opinion, of the Humane AI pin and also the Fisker. Now, there was a lot of people showing like how Fisker stock has like plummeted after his review, but you know, Marquez kind of clarified that it was already on its way down. His maybe just pushed it a little bit more, okay? But yeah, I mean, it's just so interesting, because one of the things that I said on Twitter in response to all of this is that if a product is not ready to be reviewed or sold, it should not be sent to reviewers to review or for people to buy. Right? For consumers to buy. And I think it's as simple as that, because do you remember we you know, I had this rant a few episodes ago with the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, which is an excellent smartphone, one of my favorites. I've fully reviewed it as well. But there was this whole debate around, oh no, wait for the review, right? You've got it in your hand. Samsung has said, here's a device for you to review. But people are saying, no, wait until the review comes, which didn't come a month after it was on sale, right?
Yeah.
So you know, I will quote Marquez, because he has said this before, right? Is that never buy a product on the promise of software updates, okay? Future software updates. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, never buy a product based on the promise of future updates, okay? And I totally agree with that. You have to take the device for what it is right now. Yes, it might get better, right? It might get better. But when you're actually spending your money, you can't just rely on a promise. Tesla's, you know, self-driving is an example. Right? Which, you know, 4 years ago when I was buying my Tesla, you could get full self-driving, which still isn't full self-driving as yet, right? So I'm so glad I didn't spend that much on it right now, because guess what? I'm probably going to be selling my Tesla now. So I would have bought it and never actually fully got to utilize it. So yeah. What are your thoughts on it, E?
I mean, I can get real African and call people foolish, but I will stop right here. By saying simply this, first of all, Marquez does not kill startups at all. I think we are in a place where, number one, products have become more fine-tuned and we've been dealing with the same kinds of products. If you make a bad cell phone, that's on you. There's almost no way to make a bad cell phone in whatever price category, or laptop or tablet. You know, those are mature products, right? So people are used to that aspect of reviews, because then it's about the minutiae that we're always talking about. They could have fixed this, this could be better, that type of thing. And then you now have someone like the Daniel character that you mentioned on Twitter talking about do no harm. He is correct. Do no harm to your number one shareholder. And for all of us, that is you guys watching the videos. Without your trust, we don't get to the levels we get to. Marquez doesn't get to 18 million viewers by people not going like, I trust that guy. You know, it makes sense. So he has to be almost in their own self-interest to say, hey, look, guys, this, no, do not, you know, because think about it. whether it's a humane AI pin, $700, that's a lot for a lot of people. Or better yet, a car, which is always the second largest purchase for most people on the planet, because your house is the highest purchase you most likely spend. The car is the second largest, and he's telling you, you don't buy it. And we know from car buying experience, you get the wrong car or car you don't like or car that's bad, you will want to curse that company out to the end of time. So
yep, I agree.
So a lot of people have forgotten the fact that reviewers are here to showcase exactly what the product is about. And yes, giving his own opinion. And again, you don't have to follow that opinion, but you also, none of these companies are paying you to be their ambassadors either. So why are you fighting for these companies in that regard? Now, yeah, talking about products, a prime example to me is Rabbit R1. I did the launch event at, the press event at CES. We also had the launch, kind of like the launch pickup event in New York. We had a Q&A. Fisher asked him a very poignant question, Michael Fisher. He goes, you're launching, it seems not everything is complete. Some things looks like they're off. Looks like you got some things right. You know, it's a mixed bag. Why are you launching now? He said something really quite interesting. He said, look, I need you to test it. And we all looked, it's like, hear me out. This is exactly why. I have a large language model. The more people who use it, that's the only way it gets better. And then he's like, I've always said this from the beginning. Now that's different from, say, humane, because at least he's telling you, this is what I am giving you.
Yeah.
So if you buy it for that, that's perfect. That is fine. That's what you're expecting that. And that's mm-hmm. the thing that a lot of companies also have to understand is that wherever your state is, tell people exactly what it is. Most people are very comfortable and to go like, you know what? I'll take it. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, then you don't want it. But you cannot come here because looking at both Humane and I'm not saying Humane is bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that just the approach. Humane came with the approach of, we're ex-Apple. We can design. And they designed a very sexy device. We'll give you the best and just take it. And the other company is going, going like, guys, man, look, we do what we're trying to do. So this might work. This might not work. Try it out.
So a few things here, like, you know, how you mentioned right now, I appreciate the honesty from Rabbit because, you know, I've personally had situations where I've gone ahead, reviewed a product, right? And it's not necessarily a bad review, but there's certain things that I've mentioned. Those aspects have then been taken to improve the devices either for the next generation. Like, I've literally had people from R&D teams saying that we love your camera comparisons. We actually use them to improve our cameras, right? Okay, mm-hmm. We've actually had that one interesting example was with OnePlus. I think it was a OnePlus 6. I can't remember. It was a good few years ago. When it was shooting in 4K 60, the autofocus was completely off, right? They saw that in my video. They actually respected them, contacted me personally and said, look, can you give us a bit more details about your testing? And I sent them the video file. Then they released a software update to fix that, right? So this is the thing, like reviews improve products and, you know, make products better for the consumers. That's what we do. That's what our job is, right? Now, having said that, there are some people out there who will over-sensationalize a problem and just kind of really be unprofessional about it and just pretty much SH onto a product for the sake of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For views, for clicks. So it's a good product, but they're literally just finding anything that they can, kind of emphasizing the negatives just to get clicks and stuff. I get that. That is wrong, right? Okay. That's not what Marquez did. Marquez actually provided a very balanced review, which I think was done very, very well. He kind of covered all of the different aspects, the positives and negatives, and that's what he concluded with, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you have to remember, that this was not a sensationalized video to try to get clicks, to rage bait, nothing like that. This was, you know, a solid review. One thing that a lot of people are saying is about the title, right?
That's, I was gonna, okay, go there
the
next,
worst
yeah.
product I've ever reviewed for now, right? Okay, now I think there's two aspects to that. Firstly, I don't think it was clickbait, because if he said that and then kind of, you know, just to kind of get people in, because like one of the things I do is you know, for my reviews, longer term reviews, I say the truth about this device, right? And some people will kind of complain initially saying, oh, that's clickbait and stuff, and it's like, yeah, but you clicked on it, right? And I am telling you the truth about the device. It's not clickbait when you're actually delivering on what the title is, which I believe Marquez did do, right?
Yeah.
So if the title actually represents what's on there, and you know, on YouTube, you do have to use titles that are gonna work, right? If you just put Humane AI Pin Review, that it doesn't really reflect what he's experienced. It's just flat. And then you watch it, it's not going to do anywhere near as well as if he's actually just giving you a bit of a preview onto that. Now, this is the worst product I've ever reviewed for now. And I think that's absolutely reasonable.
It is. I think a lot of people are reflecting on their love or their need for something to excel and succeed. For it to actually, you know, do well. So when somebody says it's negative, I mean, we see this all the time with, it doesn't matter whether it's movie reviews or even just characters. You know, I'm a big Superman fan. And then in my own space of like comic book and anime, where you say Superman fights Goku and I go, Superman will beat Goku because all of these things in the comic books, they're like, you know, you're just a hater. You don't care, whatever. It just boils down to that instead of going like, hey, look, this is an imaginary thing. So in this case, this is a product that either one, it's going to be expensive for a lot of people to buy. $700 is not cheap. Plus a subscription. That's $24.99 a month, right? So you're adding layers on top, which means by the lifetime you use this for a year, you're spending $1,000 on this device, right? Easy on this device. So when you're spending $1,000 and nothing is working, what it kind of reminds me of is like the old days of cell phones with Nokia, because Nokia had some really cool design cell phones. Some of them worked really well, and some of them just did nothing. You're like, ah, I spent like $1,500 on a Nokia phone. People are like, it's cool. I'm like, yes, it's really cool, you know, because
good old days.
Some of the things don't work. As a consumer, you don't want to go through that experience. You don't want to spend money and feel like you've completely wasted it. You know, it's not like you're spending money on, let's call it like Xbox and PlayStation. You just, because you don't like the Xbox or you don't have enough games in the Xbox, it doesn't mean it's not powerful. It doesn't work. That has nothing to do with the performance of it. It's just not games for you, as opposed to you buying a device and everything you try to use on it just doesn't work. Then you're going, this is paperweight. This is literally paperweight, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people have to understand. And also, to be fair, these are new categories, minus the Fisker, which is not a new category in the sense. It's a newer category, but it's not new. It's an electric vehicle. We've had that for a while. But the AI pins or the AI devices are now a new product category. And we are going back to an era which most people either don't remember or have not experienced. The early days of YouTube reviewing, where we had some terrible products where there was like, oh, it was cringe. We're going to an era where it's rough. It's going to be rough starting, and maybe bigger companies like, say, an Apple or Microsoft or Samsung will have a better fine-tuned approach because, of course, they have more money to do that. But this is just where we are. And I think a lot of people have to understand that and also understand that no company loves you. Let's just be frank. They are not your friends. They're not making anything for you. They're making a product to make a sale, make a profit. And the only person that they are beholden to is their investors. Always remember that. The investor for a company. And the same thing for creators. The people who behold us are you. Because we know this very well. I had a video, and yes, my title was clickbait. I will admit it. I said the Xbox Series S was better than the PlayStation 5. And I got immediately blasted at the beginning, but I gave my points why. And it was because of some of the features in the Xbox at that time. But a lot of people came in with like, oh, this guy's dumb. This, you know, you ran into it. And I'm going, either way, you're giving them your money and they're taking it from you. So a lot of users have to look at it in that respect, or else it's all lost.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, look, you know, like brand loyalty. Okay, fair enough. I get that and stuff. But like at the end of the day, competition is good. Like if you're just going to be like, oh no, that's rubbish, without even like, you know, like sometimes when I do my camera comparisons, before somebody's even like seen, they've looked at the label first, right? Okay. And this is why a lot of people say you should do blind camera comparisons and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I've done those before as well. Maybe we'll do some more of those. But the fact is that bias immediately gets it. Like, look, for example, you are an Apple fan and, you know, the Samsung is doing better in one aspect, right? Then you should be, you know, like, yeah, fair enough. The Samsung does this better. So then hopefully, like, for example, when, you know, Samsung was using OLED screens, whereas, you know, Apple was using LCD. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to highlight that that is better, because then that gives, you know, the feedback for Apple to improve, for instance, right?
Retina.
Likewise, you got Samsung fans, when we talk about video on the iPhone being better, right? Okay. They're like, no, it's like, look how much Samsung has improved video over the past few years. Do you think they would have done that if it's just like, no, it's fine. We're happy with, just because it's Samsung, it's fine. No, competition makes things go forward. And obviously for our job as reviewers is to present both positives and negatives of devices so you can make an informed decision. Now, say for instance, you watch Marquez's video, right, of the Humane AI pin, and you're like, you know what? I get these downfalls, but I still think this is a really cool product. I used to watch Star Trek before. I still want to try this out. And then you decide to go on spend your hard-earned cash on it. Fair enough, right? Marquez has done his job of presenting the positives and negatives for you, right? Now, if you were somebody who was watching all the marketing and you were like, oh, okay, this is a brilliant, you know, device that's going to do all this for me, right? And you are going to put the money down, but then you watched his review and you were like, you know what? I'm actually going to hold back. I'm so interested in this product, but I think it's a few generations behind to what I need. Maybe I'll buy the second edition of it or the third in a few years' time when it's better, when it's got better battery life, when it's faster, all of these things, right? Okay. But you can do that thanks to his review because he's had a chance to check it out, right? And that's the thing. So I'm sure a lot of people, like, we're pretty much probably just preaching to the choir here because a lot of people probably already agree with us on this point. There was just, a small minority, but it did kick off a big debate. But just to answer that question at the start, is Marquez killing startups? No, he's not. I think he's doing a great job with his reviews. And, you know, that review in particular of the Humane AI pin was a very, very well done review. You can tell he spent a lot of time on it. He did give it a chance. He did test it out a lot as well. And it didn't deliver. So that's what he did. And again, it might improve. Something I personally can't see myself using that too much, if I'm honest with you. But it's something that, you know, maybe in a few years' time when it's actually, you know, developed and it's just like, you know what, okay, I want to keep taking my phone out. I want to stay away from my phone a little bit. I just want this pin that's just going to, you know, do these cool things for me. And yeah, maybe. But for now, definitely something that needs a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think you hit all the points there. I think a lot of people were hoping for something different. I think that's probably what it is that, you know, like Fisher always says, he says he's tired of the way smartphones are, which is why he's covered a lot of foldables, different, design structures, and people are looking for something different. So I think maybe people just felt that, you know, Marquez poo-pooed on the new thing, and that's, you know, that's the case. And we all are. I mean, I want an AI assistant basically just, you know, make sure that I get there on time early, you know, so that maybe he can recreate
African
time.
He really needs one.
You know?
you know what? Knowing you, you'd probably turn this AI assistant into your own sort of like, then she'll be doing things with your time. After a bit, you'd corrupt her.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. Yeah. The companies would be like, we don't know how our AI turned this way. I was like, well, I'm sorry.
How did he corrupt this AI? Now she's always 15 to 20 minutes late at least. Oh, man. But anyway, that's all we have time for on this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, do drop a rating on your favorite podcast platform. If you're on YouTube, do consider subscribing to the channel and hitting the notification bell. We do put out clips, which have been doing really well on the channel. So thank you all for watching as well. Please continue doing so. And we will be back next month. And, you know, there's going to be a lot to talk about because, wow, it's like, it's crazy. It's May and it's already like, I know we talk about Techtember, Techtober, all of this, Techvember. It's like, cause May is like back to back right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, next month is going to be packed. There's some official events, there's some secret events, and then this dub just to almost start the next one.
Yeah, so just finish one. But we'll be back next month talking about it all. Thanks for watching and listening. This is your host, Super Saf, and my co-host,
Anabong AJ Thundi E from Border Work, also called Singala.
He's covered all of the bases there. We'll see you next time.
Bye.